everybody, I'm Luke, and welcome back to The Breakdown, and I'm so excited. Pastor Kurt is back with us today.
Good to be with you, man. I'm so glad to be here.
So how have things been going with you?
Everything's been going great. I think the last time I was here, I've come on twice, but we lost one, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So nobody ever heard that one. We listened to it. It was robots.
It was really good.
It was actually really good. It was a really, really good show. We were both kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
So I came on to that show. And then the last time I was here, I think I was still pretty much engulfed with what was going on with Kings and maybe the start of the school.
Right. That's right. Yep. We're already into the first year of the new educational model.
We are, yeah.
How is that going?
I would say it's going really well. It's great to have the students have an opportunity to collaborate in the second part of the day. You know, everybody has a lot of energy to get out after lunch.
Could you give some examples of what happens in the second part of the day?
Sure. So we're still trying to cover sciences and different things. Like, for example, this week we have an entrepreneurial class taking place. That class has actually been going on for 6 to 8 weeks now. Today, they're doing their Shark Tank. They're actually going to have investors on one side of the table.
Oh, that's so fun.
And they're going to be pitching the business model or whatever they came up with, the product that they came up with.
You should totally record some of those.
I did say that. Because, I did tell them we need to record them. It is very cool. I'm very excited about that. Then we have some animal studies going on. Dina Rosinski's been working on that, on the upper school and some lower school animal studies. And I mean, right down to, you know, kids getting outside and having salamanders in their hands, playing with them, learning, getting involved in the ecology and environment. We have Mrs. Rubenstein doing those things. She takes the students off campus, I think, every week, and they're going and experiencing. It's really cool. I mean, baking, again, you might hear these things and think, isn't that always a part of school? Well, as we were developing our school, we really didn't have much room for that. So for us to third year in be able to implement this stuff is actually really exciting, because we jumped right out of the gate and we started a K-12 school. You know, it's not like we were able to specialize and this is what high school should look like and this is what lower school. So to be able to be third year in and start having some of these practical applications take place, I believe is very exciting. And we're hoping produces more of a well-rounded student touching different areas. We've taken some of our middle school students. We separate the boys from the girls for about 50 minutes, 5-0. We'll take the boys and teach them how to do certain things. Mr. Wheeler has done a phenomenal job with Mr. Coloro. They've done everything from ironing to tying a tie to working on a car, changing
a
battery.
Maybe I should go to this class.
I'm telling you.
I should go to this class.
You know, changing the oil, jumping the car. It's been really cool. And the girls have been doing that stuff as well. And it's actually been wonderful.
No,
so
fantastic.
I told the boys, I was like, I need to jump into that class too. Yeah.
Well, what I love hearing this is what we are doing here is we are creating students who can think for themselves.
Yes.
That can follow their own interests. And it's not to diminish traditional learning, like traditional school, which that's still part of the day.
Absolutely.
You know, there are just, you know, you learn subjects through reading and through people teaching you. And then there are tests. There's, you know, ways to check on your knowledge. But more important, in my opinion, is that we create students that if they have an interest in something or they have a question, they feel equipped to, I can go and find this out for myself. And
yes.
I have the freedom to maybe get something wrong first, but I am able to pursue this impulse that's inside of me.
Exactly. That's a really good way to break it down, because what happens, and I always thought this about myself, I was the child that wanted to go to the trade school. There was a little bit of concern that if I was, you know, going to the trade school, I would not be able to go to college, because that's the way it was back in the day. You either were college or career. Now it's totally different.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and even when I was there, but there was just a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. And I was a hands-on learner. And always I need to see it once and then do it. Even now when I have a house project or a car project, I'll say, hey, if you just teach me, like, let me do it with you once. I'll never forget it. Mm-hmm. I need to learn. I might be the annoying guy that calls and says, will you show me?
Yes.
I'm not asking you to do it for me. I'm asking you to show me. And once you show me, then I'll be able to do it. And so I like that the students have that opportunity throughout the day, including the rest of the day. But, you know, not just to have to be forced to sit there and do that math. But maybe later on in the day, they can see that math in a business class when they're actually trying to put together the project, when they're able to say, hey, we actually need all these funds to run this business.
Right.
The math becomes real.
Right. It's, you know, practical.
It's practical.
There's a purpose.
Yes. And you talk about it too. Like, you know, we always say, am I going to need algebra? Yeah. If you're going to run a business, you're actually going to need algebra. Mm-hmm. So we want the students to be able to see that. And again, those are things that I wish that I would have had, or some of the plumbers, they talk about, you absolutely need the Pythagorean theorem, you know? Mm-hmm. And those are things that we didn't know back then. So yeah. I think it's great. I mean, we obviously knew it, but nobody said, hey, I'm going to show you how this works in reality.
Right.
I wish I had that.
Right.
So we're starting. You know, it's only 6 to 8 weeks into school. We're starting. And I think it's going to be pretty exciting.
And no model is going to be perfect.
Okay, good.
But I believe that from what I've heard, what I've seen from talking to kids, this harnesses the drive, which I believe we get from God, to learn, yeah, to discover, to create.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to lead with that God-given impulse first.
That's right.
And then the discipline piece, that's always part of it. You know, there's a tendency, again, like, I have to fight laziness.
Right.
Even in the midst of my interests. Like,
yeah,
there's going to be work. But I think what's happening here is we're putting the God-given impulse of learning and creating, and then also understanding that God created each child uniquely,
yeah,
each person uniquely, so there's a space to honor that.
Yes, and I think at the end of the day, if we can foster a love of learning, and we've done so through exploring the impulse desires of the children that God has deposited, I like that you're using that word, and number three, through implementing disciplines.
Right.
Once we've kind of stoked that fire of desire inside of them, now it can be harnessed by implementing proper disciplines. And those are things we tend to learn on the back end, mm-hmm, of education. And I think a lot of times they call it reverse engineering or reverse education, just reversing the system.
Right.
And, you know, we're just at the start. So I'm pretty excited about what that is going to yield. We're all learning. We're learning some hard lessons too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not perfect. We're learning some very hard lessons. We've had such a structured system. So moving a little bit out of that structure we need other parameters. So we're learning.
Yeah.
And I know this is not our show, but SOS is full in swing. We only have five classes left for this semester that,
wow,
will take us into December. So we always want to encourage people. And you've had a great semester so far.
I've had a fantastic, yeah, semester. And I'm very excited for the next time I get to teach my course.
I know.
I feel like there's going to be some fresh life that is still brewing in my head for it.
Yeah. Every semester I come back to teach a class that I have taught before, I get something new and fresh every single time. And we talk about it. Being a teacher is really a disciple. You're a student first, and you just stay in the material. You constantly learn, and the class is engaging, and you become alive to it. So we want to encourage you. Within the next 3 weeks or so, we'll have our new SOS schedule out for the spring. You'll be able to register for classes. We really want to encourage you to enroll. I talk to people all the time, and it's like, oh, I want to do that. I meant to do that. Really, don't put it off. And don't wait. The time is here. We want to help you, even as an adult, stoke that fire and discover what it is that God deposited inside of you.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was talking with someone, and I was asking him, like, so is there a ministry you'd want to get involved with? And he wasn't sure. And then what came to me was, oh, what about School of the Spirit? And he was interested in that. And a lot of students who take these courses, they form a bond with the other students,
yes,
and the teacher. It's kind of like we go on a little journey every semester. So maybe you've been thinking about wanting to jump into a ministry, but you're not sure, but you want to get more involved. You want to get more connected with people. School of the Spirit actually might be the opportunity that you're looking for. Because you don't have to take four classes. You can just take one.
You can. You can take one. You can take two. And you're going to learn in the classroom. You're going to grow. For many of us who have had a lot of tradition and religion in our lives, a lot of that's going to,
yeah,
get broken off. You're going to get set free. And you're going to start jumping into some of the stuff God has called you to. And I have to agree, Luke. I'm sorry. I'm struggling with a mint here, bro. I watched the bond and the relationships,
yeah,
of the students develop, and it's another group that you're able to not just do life with, but also do ministry with,
yeah,
you know, so it's awesome. So it's a great semester. It's a lot of fun.
So cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we're going to come back to School of the Spirit, but let's dive into Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So Sunday, Pastor Zach preached out of Ezekiel chapter 34, and big picture, it was God's judgment on the shepherds,
yeah,
of Israel who,
yeah,
had not been shepherding.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say is like the highlight point that was standing out to you?
Well, you know, I actually am wondering, I'm going to double back with a question to you. Do you think this is going to be a two-parter? Because he...
I think so. Well, I what I was catching from the message is this is, I would, I don't know if people can understand what this is, but in my sense is this was almost what I would call like a thesis statement message.
Okay.
So, you know, like when you write a paper, you have to have your thesis, like your main point of the paper is kind of at the beginning. So the reader knows this is where we're going. What I sense from Pastor Zach, and then it was fleshed out at the family meeting, is that he's setting the tone for the direction that our church is going in. You know, where it's, we are here to shepherd people to Jesus. And we follow Jesus. And it's not about me pushing against other people or fighting other sheep. But I am leading people to Jesus and having patience with where people are at, maybe even overlooking some more like disputable matters, some beliefs that maybe I don't completely mesh with. You know, because it's all about, it's not about the infighting, it's about us moving forward as we are shepherded by Christ. That's kind of the big picture.
That's great. I love your takeaway, and I think it really does help. In fact, I would say that you just really summarized it very, very well. And with your statement, I would also say that you're right. It really was fleshed out later on that evening at the family meeting, which was a wonderful time. I had never been to a family meeting before in the churches
that
I've been involved in.
Me neither. So, it was our first time.
Yeah, it was great. It was really wonderful. My first time here and my first time in my life being a part of something. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. It was wonderful to hear those things. But yeah, I like what you're saying, Luke. And for me, you know, you asked me that original question of what was I thinking? What's a big takeaway for me. I like that Pastor Zach said it at the beginning of the message, and it's part of why I think it might be a 2 week or a two service, is because there is that sense of we are in some cases shepherding and in all cases the sheep, like you said. And we will find ourselves, we're making disciples, and in those senses where we're making disciples, we're a shepherd, we're shepherding. And as we're shepherding, we also need to remember that we are sheep. There really only is one true shepherd. And so this rebuke that God gives Ezekiel to give to these shepherds here, it really, I have to say, it always gives me pause. Every time I come back to, you know, I have been serving in pastoral ministry for 17 and a half years now. And in doing that, these are the things that always give me pause to say, hey, am I as somebody who has been put in this particular field to make sure that I'm shepherding regularly, you know, really dedicated to it, have I become, or rather, in what ways now am I budding and pushing, you know, in what ways am I shouldering people out and just enjoying the fat of the land? Or in what ways am I polluting the water around me? You know, not to say, not to get, because I think we all want that sense of like, that's not me. But no. If I just get past that and I say, okay, there's probably some areas, you know, this message is coming forth. There's probably some areas for all of us that we should be able to say, okay, Lord, where am I polluting the waters around me? Am I following up some area so that somebody who is feeding on that pasture or drinking from that water is actually not able to? I've now starved them out of what they needed. And I love the correlation here. I don't know. I'm just speaking.
Keep going.
I love the correlation of Pastor Zach talking about that. And when you think about sheep feeding, you know, there may be some things that you say, hey, I used to study these things and these things used to seem important to me, but now I'm on to other things. And just because you're in those other things doesn't mean that you should put down the things that somebody else is feeding off of or drinking from. I thought that was wonderful. And right down to something, like you said, that was fleshed out later on that evening at the family meeting, something that I have long believed and prayed for as a young youth pastor, my greatest desire when I couldn't work with other youth pastors because nobody would get together because everybody had, you know, everybody was the best.
They're in their own silo.
Their own silo.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, Or we can't agree on the majors. So when I'm looking at this, I'm saying, you know, it's very encouraging for me to hear our pastor saying, you're not going to find me putting down, you know, that local church and saying, or putting down this minister or putting down that minister just because it's not here. That's not going to be who we are. And I love that. And it's not just said from the pulpit. It is literally lived out regularly at our church.
Right. Absolutely. You know, and Paul says, like, let nothing be done out of selfish ambition,
yes,
or vain conceit, but in lowliness of mind, think of others as better than yourself.
Correct.
And he, you know, he calls us to follow the example of Jesus in that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think, you know, maybe when you're listening to this, you're thinking, yeah, but this person believes X, Y, and Z. Okay. So we don't compromise on truth.
That's right.
We don't compromise on the major tenets of, like, how we are saved,
yep,
and who Jesus is, and morality.
That's
that
right.
Is
That's
set
right.
In, that is set in stone.
The absolutes.
That is absolute. But I will say, all right, once you have that, you will find that your flesh still gets in the way of you, even with all those things agreed upon.
Mm-hmm.
You will find that there's something that rises up in your flesh that wants you to come down on how other people are doing things.
Yeah, yeah.
And it can be little things, even to, you know, maybe what Bible version you use.
Mm-hmm.
Like that might seem like a trivial thing to someone listening, but for some people that's huge.
Absolutely.
They will say, oh, that's a bad Bible version. Mm-hmm. You can't use that. You know, rather than looking at, well, where is that person going? Is it drawing them close to Jesus? If they are becoming more like Jesus, is it really such a big thing for me to make what Bible version people are using my central platform?
Right, right. It's interesting that you're saying these things and that this message came up on Sunday, because just a few days earlier in my Thursday morning love letters class, going through Paul's study, we were talking about something similar and just how I really do struggle. So this is a prime example, and I'll be bold here. I really do struggle. There are a couple of particular ministers right now who are worldwide well-known, mm-hmm, and they actually make, rather than just focusing on the truth of the gospel, they've made it their aim to demonize all these other ministers,
right,
and tell everybody why they're false teachers, right, and false prophets. Now listen, truly, and this is what we were talking about, is the false teaching and the false prophet. And it's so funny because Pastor Zach was talking about that on Sunday. Yeah. Like, we're going to see these things happen in these last days. How do we know? We stick to the word.
Right.
We stick to the word. That doesn't mean that somebody who has been given a particularly highlighted focus,
right?
Oh, well, they only talk about this. Maybe, just maybe, God put that on their heart as their specialty.
Right.
And there's going to be people who need to receive from that. And so in the class, a woman raised her hand and said, I'm so glad you're saying that, because God used this one particular minister in a very difficult and broken time of my life. He used what that revelation was that minister,
right,
had, and it changed my life.
Right.
But then I tell other people that, and they're like, he's bad.
Right.
He's bad.
Right.
He's bad. And she's like, wow, thank you so much for enlightening. And obviously, I'm glad you said it, because it's kind of a delicate walk, Luke, mm-hmm, right? You have to make sure that the absolutes are there.
Right.
Anything that adds to the completed work of the cross, in the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, ascension,
right,
of Christ, or anything that takes away from those things, mm-hmm, adding to the completed work of the cross or taking away from the completed work of the cross is really where you see that false doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody who has a highlighted special focus,
right,
you know, it's like, don't be demonizing that and diminishing what God is providing through them.
Right.
I felt like the Lord actually dealt with me years ago, mm-hmm, as a young youth pastor, and I was actually jealous, truthfully. I was jealous. The reason I was talking bad about others was because I was jealous of their ministry. I was jealous of the people that God,
right,
had given them.
Right.
And the Lord's like, you need to stop talking about them. You need to stop putting them down and acting like you've got something. You've cornered the market on something and they haven't. So I there's,
right,
so much.
And that's what I'm getting at, is we all have to confront,
yeah,
that tendency to being conceited, yeah, and vain.
Yes.
Everybody has it.
You're quoting Philippians 2, by,
yes,
the way.
Yes,
it's, yes, great. Yeah,
we,
yeah,
we all have it. Like, why do you think God wanted Paul to say that? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Let nothing be done.
Yep.
Okay. So that could even be something that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Check your motive.
Correct.
Because you want to do the right thing in harmony with the heart of the Father.
Yeah.
With the Holy Spirit. And so that people will not get stuck. Like, there's it's like a prayer that, like, I've been praying for myself. It's like, God, I don't want people tripping over me while,
amen,
they're trying to get to you.
Amen.
I don't want my flesh to get in the way of what of people getting to you. Because that's the stuff that will smell bad.
That's exactly
Jesus
right.
doesn't smell bad, but Luke can smell bad. And when I give the word or when I teach or mentor, I don't want my own impulses to get inserted and my own agenda, because no matter how seemingly good it might be, even if it's just a click off, it doesn't produce the righteousness, because I'm not leading people to me, to Jesus. I'm leading them to me.
Exactly. And that will feed that ego inside of each and every one of us. If we hear, and listen, nobody is removed from that. And you can always tell, because there's always that comparison. Oh, you know, I like when you do this, mm-hmm. you've got this. And we have to be very, very careful to say, listen, you know what? We are all vessels. I would really been meditating recently on some of the things that Jesus says. And it's part of why Paul says he deals with the church at Corinth, who, you know, we call very carnal. And that's not like, it's not that the carnal is bad. It just means they're operating predominantly in their flesh. They're not looking right. at it through the spirit. They're fleshly. All of it. Some of the stuff that came as a result was bad, but they were really just more fleshly focused than they were spiritual focused.
Right.
And they're saying, hey, well, this group over here, we're of Paul. And this group over there, we're of Apollos. And some of us, we're of Peter. And the rest of us, we're just with Jesus.
Right.
And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, he's like, listen, just get over yourself.
Right.
Who is Paul and who is Apollos? They're ministers. They're workers of the gospel. One sows, another waters. God gives the increase. Neither me nor you nor anybody is supposed to be drawing the folks to themselves, right? If we come back to this really, like you said, thesis statement, man, Pastor Zach kind of laying the foundation of, we will be shepherding at times. You don't just need to be a pastor to be shepherding. You're making disciples. You will be shepherding regularly and should be, but always remember, you're a sheep. And as a sheep, eating, you might be a little bit ahead of somebody. You might be drinking in a water while they're back there still chewing,
right.
but you are not to foul up or butt them out of the way. How about when Pastor Zach is saying, like, to shoulder them out or push them with the side is actually to stop moving forward
right.
and to just be moving sideways. How many? And that's where you have to be careful. I say you, I say general, mm-hmm. you general, us, all of us.
Yeah.
We have to be very, very careful for that critical spirit
mm-hmm.
that wants to sneak in.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with first a critical eye.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, listen,
yep.
I can see this. This needs
you
to be adjusted.
Yeah.
You notice it, but it's okay if you got that critical eye and you're really good. That's a gift, but it's where that moves into a critical spirit where, you know, again, you've cornered the market on something, or you know something, or you think it could be done better this way. And so you're kind of ruining it across the plane for everybody else. You've ceased to move forward. You've stopped moving forward in your walk with the Lord. You're on that line right there. That's the visual that came to
yeah.
me. It's like, wow, I don't want to be stuck on that linear place.
Definitely.
I want to be following the Lord forward, forward, forward. And again, never moving away from those absolutes and those basics, staying on those foundational principles, but not making major molehills out of these small things, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's a constant refining process.
Yeah.
Like, I find that I'm constantly having to refocus in that area.
Yeah.
And Pastor Zach said, so, because here's the thing, you could have been listening to this and say, okay, this is about pastors. This is about ministry. No, this is about everybody.
Everybody.
This is about everybody. And I think that's been one of the weaknesses of the church.
Mm.
But it's getting better now, especially in the way our church functions and the way, you know, like good pastors, they will encourage their sheep to rise up and to become leaders. And Pastor Zach does talk to people as though you're all going to be leaders, because to be a healthy Christian, you're gonna lead somewhere.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter where you find yourself. Like, you don't have to put a picture of what that looks like, but understand that no matter where you are, you have people that are around you that need your leadership. And Pastor Zach said, have you been using your sphere of influence to gather or to feed yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And that should be our heart, is, okay, my sphere of influence. You want to know what that is? Just think about a situation. Maybe it's your work, your home, the people that are there.
Your greenhouse.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is your sphere of influence.
Yep, yep.
The people you sit with at church, that's your sphere of influence.
Yeah.
Okay? It does not need to come with a title or a position. You are influential without those things.
Exactly right.
So ask yourself, what is my motivation when I'm in that place? Am I here to just take for myself so that I feel good? Or am I asking the Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to do here so that we can all look more like Jesus?
Mm. That's really good, Luke. And in fact, while you're talking, I'm right back to now I understand why you brought up that first passage from Philippians that nothing should be done through selfish ambition and conceit, but we are to, in lowliness of mind, esteem others better than ourselves. And if you have that approach when you're in that sphere of influence, you know that any praise and any glory that's coming up is just for the Father. It's just for the Father. And I was meditating recently on what Jesus said. He said, listen, when you're a worker and you're a servant in a household and the master comes home and says, hey, make me dinner, you don't say to him, you know, oh, let me eat dinner first and then I'll serve you. No, you get right to work and you make him dinner because you count yourself an unprofitable servant, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to remember, not that Jesus is by any means diminishing the work that he has called us to do. He's partnering with us, but the Lord knows that arrogant pride that wants to rise up inside of every one of us. And for us to always live in that posture of like, God, you get all the praise and you get all the glory. And if I get to be a vessel, this is the most beautiful part about it. If I get to be a vessel and you use my giftings to bless the people around me, man, just read 1 Corinthians 12. Those spiritual gifts that we have been given for the body are for the benefit of all. Right. And so when you see your gifts in operation, you have two options. You either get really puffed up and inflated and arrogant, and everybody goes through that process. So we're not making ourselves better even by saying it. We all wrestle with it. When you start to see the Holy Spirit moving through you in supernatural ways, this is the whole reason we have two letters to the church of Corinth, because that's what they were dealing with. So puffed up because the Lord was moving mightily through them that they got the focus on the giftings instead of the giver.
Right.
And again, this ties right back into Ezekiel that if we're devouring those around us and we're taking all of that for ourselves, both what they're feeding on and even them.
Right.
Making it about us, we've missed the mark.
Right. And it's not about our gifting.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus says that there are going to be people that are not accepted by the Father who did act out in spiritual gifts. They cast out demons. They prophesied. And they're going to say, well, we did all these things.
Yeah.
And he'll say, I didn't know you.
Yeah.
Because it's not primarily about that. It's about our relationship with the shepherd.
Yes.
It's the relationship with Jesus. Like, are you walking with the shepherd? And are you in harmony with what he's calling you to do and what he did for you by dying for your sins? And then out of that love, out of that transformation, you're going to lead people well. But don't use the Holy Spirit moving through you as a marker, primarily that you're all right with God.
Yeah, yeah. It's so true. You know, and I'm kind of looking ahead here, and I don't even know what your notes say, but I was thinking to one of the other points that Pastor Zach made, and I, you know what? I don't even know if he got there or if I was just reading it and I was so moved by it, but where the Lord says that he will be the shepherd himself and he will go out and get the sheep.
Yes,
and
yes.
I actually was at my parents' house later on Sunday afternoon, and we were having this dialogue, and my dad and I were talking about a particular sect or a particular denomination that he grew up in. Mm-hmm. And he and I are always talking about, hey, you never know who's going to be in heaven. You really don't know.
You don't.
And I will never, because of that, you're not going to find me coming after a lot of these different denominations.
Nope.
Obviously, we're not moving from those majors and those absolutes. But you're not going to find me coming after those denominations. And my dad and I were talking about this. And he was saying, well, Kurt, you know, back in this day, the Holy Spirit swept through and marvelous things were happening. And I'm like, exactly, Dad, because of exactly what the Lord is saying here, I will go and find my sheep, even those who have been abused and are being misled.
Yes.
I will go and get them. And so you can trust that the Lord is going to sweep through as he has in times past. You know, I think about the great charismatic renewal of the late 70s and early 80s that swept through the Catholic Church in particular. And you're going to find the Lord is going to make sure that those who are really seeking are going to find him.
He will find them.
That's exactly right. And what happens is, you know, you look at the, and we talked about this, you look at what happens after something like that, is that man gets a little concerned And we need to somehow control it because we can't have something out of order. Mm-hmm. And so this is where we have to trust that the Lord is moving. He's sweeping through.
Right.
He's gathering those who desire him.
And that's the thing. When we follow his leading,
yes,
he will guide us with what to do to maintain what he's doing.
Yep.
Okay?
That's exactly right. He's doing it.
He's doing it.
Yep.
And if you trust that and you do it by faith, he will always give us what we need.
Yeah, it's so true. And we don't have to worry about
that. He'll give us the wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
He will give us the wisdom. So Pastor Zach, this is perfect that we're talking about this now because he led into a statement that I just wanted us to highlight because I don't know that everyone understands this particular phrase.
Okay.
But he says that we are on the cusp of an unraveling of ecumenical boundaries.
I love it.
And this is the particular statement that to me really tied in and is like, this is the main point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is, understanding this will help us set up our hearts and our prayers and our focus for the next coming seasons.
Exactly.
What does that mean?
Oh, I love it. I'm so glad. And I think I was kind of like winking at it earlier when I was talking about being the young youth pastor.
Yes.
I didn't know you were going here.
Yeah.
Being the young youth pastor and thinking across denominations, I was very, very humbled in those early days and still am humbled now. But my prayers were, oh my goodness, God, we can't even get together. It's no wonder that the world won't turn to you because we are so divided, even in our denominations or even in our different non-denominations. Mm-hmm. We're so divided, we won't even come together. So when I heard Pastor Zach say that, after I was thinking about, you know, Jack Sparrow, who says, I think we've arrived at some great places, you know, ecumenically. I'm like,
yeah.
After I get over laughing at that, I thought, okay, this is a fulfillment of something that many of us have been praying for a long time.
So break down that phrase, ecumenical boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
I know what it means. You know what it means.
No, I'm not sure that I do. You need to explain the ecumenical. I will tell you, my you know more of that. I will tell you my interpretation. My interpretation is those denominational walls
that
have stood. Okay, so I'm right.
That is correct.
That's how I
heard
it.
Ecumenical has to do with like the church and boundaries.
Okay.
And, you know.
That were those denominations that stood.
Yeah, denominationalism. That's a good substitute.
Okay, and that's really where my mind went because I know that these are the dialogues that we have been having, and these are the things specifically I know that I have been praying into and a number of people have been praying into over the years, that we would see those walls that have separated us come down and we will settle on the majors. And I dare say that it is not about HPC, but I dare say in my short life and in the churches and the things that I have been to and observed, mm-hmm. I have yet to find one particular group that will choose to function as well as what I see at HPC. You know, you don't realize all the time when you look across the landscape, unless you actually know, how many former pastors are sitting among us, mm-hmm. former ministers, prophets, whatever. And they've come because the Lord has drawn them. And they may not necessarily be in like an active ministry role, but God is drawing people here. And what we find is, hey, this person over here, man, they're going to pray in a tongue during service. And they're going to sing in a tongue, a spiritual song during service. And this guy over here, well, in this place, we don't judge one another like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just allow, hey, okay, they're going to sing in that song right over here. I'm going to be fine. I've never been a part of any group that has been able to work with that level of, I'm going to use this loosely, mm-hmm. tolerance and appreciation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think also it stems from the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, leadership, from my perspective, you guys are centered around Jesus and you major on those majors. We could sit down with any two pastors from leadership.
Yeah.
And if we really went with a fine tooth comb
through
each of your theology, we would find differences.
You would.
We would find shades of, oh, they don't completely agree with this statement that each other has.
Yep.
But they are centered on the mission of Jesus and following the shepherd.
That's right.
And so, if you don't remember anything else, remember that. It's Pastor Zach is calling us to do what leadership is doing.
Yeah.
And when you look at healthy churches, and I follow a few other churches online, and right now in this season, it's interesting, you know, the the word says, like, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
Yes.
There is a lot of this talk going right now.
Wow.
With talking about unity in the church and how we have to have unity. And then even how out of that, we are to then go out into the marketplace and you know, influence society.
Yeah.
But we can only do that if we're unified.
Yeah.
We can't get out of the doors until we're unified, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's just been really cool to have this, you know, sometimes we can think, oh, it's just happening right here and like just HPC. It's like, no. All of the churches that are following the shepherd, the same shepherd, are
so
receiving this right now.
So good.
And it's just been, it's very encouraging.
It really is, Luke. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about, wow, Jesus could have had one. He could have had three. He could have just went with 7, 12 and 70, 120. Mm-hmm. Like when you read the different passages and you begin to see, okay, there were times that, you know, Matthew 17, Jesus is bringing up Peter, James and John up to the mountain. There's times in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's Peter, James, and John. There's times where it's the 12. There's times where it's the 70. In the upper room, what do we see? They were all in one accord. There was 120. They were all in one accord. And I think that there is something to be said. That doesn't mean that everybody believed exactly the same thing in exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They may have had differences of even their doctrinal understanding of what Jesus was doing in those moments. Mm-hmm. You better believe it. But what did they settle on? They settled on what Peter said. Jesus just told an entire multitude to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And Jesus says, you guys going to walk away too? And Jesus says, Peter says, where else are we going to go?
Yeah.
Who else has the words mm-hmm. of eternal life?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're following the one shepherd, as is written boldly on your book there, when you're following the one shepherd, it doesn't mean that you've got all these questions on the sideline and the peripheral answered. It just means that we are focused together on mm-hmm. Christ, and he requires, I was thinking about this morning as I was waking, the Lord does not require that I convince you.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord requires that I love you.
Yeah.
That is what the Lord requires of us. And it is not, I was opening the refrigerator and the Lord was speaking to me about this matter, not even knowing we were going to discuss it today. Yeah, you are not to, you know, Bible thump or hammer that person. No. You are required to love that individual across the aisle.
And even when it comes to a major point of doctrine, rather than resist, ask the Holy Spirit, all right, Holy Spirit, show me, what is it in this person that is keeping them from receiving this major truth that I know about you?
Mm-hmm.
But there's something in them that's blocking that.
Yeah.
Show me how to come alongside them so that they can come into healing.
Yeah.
That's the correct way.
It really is.
It's not a debate.
Mm-mm.
It's a shouldering. We shoulder
together.
Bear one another's burdens.
So good.
And you might have to slow down your pace a little bit to walk with where they are at, even though you know, you know, from your own growth, like, okay, I can see that their thinking is faulty. But they're not ready to receive, you know, that growth that you've gone through.
Yep.
Ask the Holy Spirit to show you how Jesus was patient with you.
Yep.
And to give you the patience for them to walk alongside them and give you wisdom to know, why is it that they're not receiving this?
Yeah.
Because that is love.
Amen. I'm going to go one more layer deep on that.
Sure, go.
And I'm going to go to that humble posture. And I'm going to say, the only way that I've really grown here is to actually be willing to put my doctrine and theology out on the table. As I've come here in the past 5 years and talked with our elders and talked to my fellows on the executive team or other pastors, I realized that, wow, I was so steeped in one particular belief set in theology and doctrine that there was a whole other frame, multiple frames that I had never even taken a look at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been so beautiful to weigh everything.
Absolutely.
You know, to kind of let it challenge me. When I'm hearing something that I don't agree with or that hasn't fit the filter before, I'm not just casting it out. I am saying, wait a minute now, what truth am I not seeing? Is there anything here that I'm missing?
Yeah.
Because there was such an arrogance and such a pride that I had really understood. And unfortunately, we don't realize it, but I'm telling you right now, if you've come from a particular denomination or a particular sect, and now we don't, you know, like, or movement. That's the one I want to say. If you have come from a particular movement, not necessarily a denomination, but the movement, there's a lot of arrogance that comes from some of these movements because it's like, we've got it. We've got it. And every time I think about a particular movement, all we're getting is a greater revelation of who Christ is. Right. He's always been the same, but it's a greater revelational understanding of who he is. And what does the Lord teach us? I'm going to tell you. Peter, James, and John go up on the mountain, and Elijah and Moses are there, and Peter's response is, let's build tabernacles. This is what Christians do all the time. We want to build a hut around a movement.
Right.
Okay, God just revealed something.
A moment. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. It's either a moment or a movement. Mm-hmm. Actually, the moments become movements.
Yeah.
And what does God say? Elijah and Moses disappeared. The cloud speaks. God says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Mm-hmm. You're not going to set up camp on these three things. No, you're not even going to set up camp at all. You're going to listen to my son. And so you're exactly right. Those moments can become movements. And then because we've had a revelation and an understanding on something, we communicate that as if it's the be all end all. I'm really going down the pipe here, buddy. I'm sorry, Luke. I hope it's okay.
No, it's so good. I wish we could keep going, but we are wrapping up.
Okay.
But, you know, all that to say, I do believe that Pastor Zach's heart is correct, that when he says that, it's not that there are going to be denominational walls coming down, and we are going to be aligning under the name of Jesus, and we're going to see the kingdom come through that.
Mm.
I don't believe that it's just something in his head. I do believe that that is the heart of the Father.
Oh,
right,
it's
now
real.
And we are going to see. And he laid out more of a vision at the family meeting. If you can go or talk to someone who was there if you missed it. But, you know, we're going to be doing more here in our church in order to, continue to be the church in the community.
Mm.
Also, he laid out a point that we are going to be working with other churches in a closer way.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be really beautiful. So set yourself up for that.
Amen.
Ask God to prepare your heart to show you what it is that needs to change in order to come into alignment with what he's doing.
So good. That's really good. And what he's doing is exactly what you're saying, Luke. It's not something that Pastor Zach is doing.
Right.
It's something that the Lord is doing. And it's global.
Mm-hmm.
It's global. You think about the Antichrist is always the antithesis of everything that is the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do we see in the end? We see a one world government. So what do we expect to see? We will see one body, one bride, you know? And the Lord has actually promised that. So that unity and that oneness is paramount.
Amen, amen. Well, you have to get ready to go teach a
class. Yeah, I'm
going to
go jump in and teach a class. Yeah, I know.
King, so if you could just do a quick prayer on your way out, that'd be
awesome. Yeah, it doesn't have to be quick, but I want to pray. Father, I thank you for this time together with Luke. It's great to be back on The Breakdown. I thank you for our study today, sort of an expounding on what our pastor was bringing us on Sunday. And I pray as we get into this, I do believe that he was saying, hey, you're going to have to read through this and pray. So let us be attentive to what you're communicating in Ezekiel 34. Let us remember that there are times and moments and seasons and regularly that we are shepherding, but never let us become that fat sheep that is just pushing everybody out of the way. We need to be so healthy and have the same mind that was in Christ. Jesus did not consider holding on to his godliness, but he emptied himself and gave himself for everybody. And he left that model for us that we are to empty ourselves for the sake of everybody else. And so I pray that this heart would really develop what Paul actually terms the mind of Christ in Philippians 2. Let that mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, that same selfless desire to see people know you in a very real and a very rich way. And so we pray you take these principles and truths, make them real, not just in our head, but make them real in our heart so that they become part of how we live, God. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, everybody. We'll see you on Sunday.